Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis. This is the 12th hour apostolic shout of time congregation rounds out the 12th hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is March 2, 2023, or is a Vidor 11, 2026. We will start our first service day with a song.
I found the answer. I was weak and weary, I had gone astray, walking in the darkness, I couldn't find my way. And a light came shining to lead me from despair. All my sins forgiven, now the sweet and care. I found the answer, I learned to pray. With faith to guide me, I found a way. The sunny skies are amazing. I found the answer, I learned to pray. I was sad and lonely, all my hopes were gone. Days were long and dreary, I couldn't carry on. Then I found the courage to keep my head up high. Once again I'm happy, and here's the reason why. I found the answer, I learned to pray. With faith to guide me, I found a way. The sun is shining, what a mistake. I found the answer, I learned to pray. Keep your Bible with you, I read it every day. Always count your blessing, and always stop to pray. Learn to keep believing, and faith will see you through. Seek to know contentment, and it will come to you. I found the answer, I learned to pray. With faith to guide me, I found a way. The sun is shining for me stay. I found the answer, I learned to pray.
And then we'll go into our sermon entitled A Rod That Speaks, Calls for Reformation. And that's in One Time of Greetings, number 27, by V.T. Hollis, February the 8th, 1947. So it looks like we got a bunch of sevens here to start with. Our subject is going to be starting with Micah chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Hear ye now what the Yahshua saith, Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and for the hills, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, for the Yahshua's controversy, and ye strong foundation of the earth. For the Yahshua hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with the Israel. So when he says he'll plead with the Israel, he's talking about the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the spiritual Israel of today. First to be noted is the fact that the messenger of the Yahweh is instructed for the contending before the mountains, and that the hills are to hear his voice. Obviously then, in this scripture, as elsewhere in the Bible, mountains and hills must be figurative of the kingdoms and government. He is to contend before the mountain, not against them. That is, he is to proclaim that Yeshua has a controversy with his people, that he is asking for a thorough reformation among them, and that they are not willing and cooperating. It was seen in the previous studies that the prophecies of the Micah 4 and 5 are to be fulfilled in the latter days, our time, and a time that inspiration by the revelation of these prophecies calls for a reformation among the Yahweh's people. For the prophecies now being unsealed for the first time since they were written, and the reformation already on foot, the fact that instead of gladly accepting the freshly revealed message, they are creating a controversy throughout the Adventist churches very obviously indicates that now is the time for the contending before the mountains. Now is the time for them, as the mountains, to hear the Yahshua's controversy with his people. For the words arise, contend thou before the mountain, and let the hills hear thy voice, imply that hitherto his voice has been heard only locally, but that now he must meet the situation, even though the mountains, hills, and the strong foundations of the earth hear that the Yeshua is having a controversy with his people. Until now, we have been merely trifling with the Yeshua's adversaries. That's those Jesuit Catholics. That's tormenting the Adventist church with through the general conferences, the Seventh-day Adventists, because the general conferences headed by the Jesuit Catholics. Ted Wilson is the president today of the General Council of Seventh-day Adventists. He's nothing but a Jesuit Catholic, is all he is. Until now, we have been merely trifling with the Yeshua's adversaries, but now we must get down unto the business, regardless who hears it. For his people must now forever turn from the man's sin, whatsoever they be, and can find their faith and hope in thus saith Yeshua, regardless through whom he says it, or else they lose out. As the followers of Yeshua, we should hearken unto his heart-rending plea for the revival and reformation. Micah 6:3. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Think of it, a great and infinite Yahweh pleading with such insignificant and sinful human beings as we, wanting to know why they are against him. Micah 6:4. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed them out of the house of the servant. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. For Yahweh is speaking unto us, who are the descendants of the prophets, of the apostles, and of the disciples, who through the years of the servitude among the Gentile nations have lost our national identity. Though we may not call ourselves Israelites, Jacobites, or Jews, Yahweh does so call us that. The Father, Yahweh, he calls us Israelites, Jacobites, and Jews. We are bloodline descendants of those people. For the always faithful few throughout the ages were willing and even glad for the sake of the truth and righteousness, for the facing of the reproach of their blind and unfaithful brethren. But we're not to be just as glad for the doing as much, for they won the race and the crown, and there is no reason why we should not. Indeed, we cannot afford for the losing our reward at this late hour. Micah 6:5, O my people. Remember now what the Balak, king of the Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that we may know the righteousness of the Yahshua, and that's the Son of Yahweh, know his righteousness. Well, it says in John 15:10, Yahshua is speaking himself unto his disciple. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And by Yahshua's obedience to the sanctuary commandments of all the statutes and judgments and precepts and feast days, he set the example of how Israel is to keep all of that for righteousness' sake. And that's how he obtained his righteousness and came to full bloom, was through obedience unto all the Father's commandments. And those sanctuary statutes and precepts and judgments are Yahweh's commandments. Here we are told that to know the righteousness of the Yahshua is to remember Yahweh's dealings with our forefathers. For his love toward us is not less than it was toward them. For he reminds us of the incident when the Balak hired Balaam for the curse in Israel, and how he caused Balaam to speak for him and bless his people. That for their sake he brought the king's aim unto naught, and caused Balaam to proclaim unto Balak, and here's what Balaam said, the true prophet of Yahweh of Israel, and now, behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise unto thee what this people shall do unto thy people in the latter days. Okay, so Moab is going to have, Balak's going to have descendants. It comes right down to the latter days here in this 12th periodic hour that we're in right now. So Balaam is telling Balak by proclamation, he says, there shall come a star out of Jacob. Now this star is Yahshua. And it says, and a scepter, which is a scepter, as a staff or a shepherd's rod, and it means authority for Yahweh's government, shall rise out of Israel. Shall rise out of Israel. That's the house of David, tribe of Judah, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth, and Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Numbers 24:14-18. In effect, Balaam said unto the king of Moab, I have tried my best for the obtaining of your favor and for the curse in Israel, but the Yahweh has prevailed, for the Israel has won. You and I have lost. And further, let me tell you what this people shall do unto thy people in the latter days. He that is to rule over Israel, or in Israel, no, he that is to rule in Israel shall smite Moab on all sides, and Israel shall do valiantly. Okay, in the last days. That's who we are today, the house of David, tribe of Judah, lawgiver. Genesis 49:10 is the prophecy for it. This was Balaam impelled to predict Yahshua's birth and his ruling, causing Israel to do valiantly against Moab and his neighboring people on in the latter days. For knowing all this is for the knowing of Yahshua, our righteousness. Okay, the Son. That if he is for us, then no one can win a thing against us. That the battle is Yahshua. That we have no need to fear our enemies. That whatever we do shall prosper regardless who is for or against us. Micah 6:6-7. Wherewith shall I come before the Asur and bow myself before the High Yahweh? Shall I come before him with the burnt offering, with the calves of a year old? Will the Asur be pleased with the thousands of rams, or with the 10,000s of the rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? From these verses, it is apparent that the unfoldment of these scriptures brings a revival and reformation. And that means a new movement also. A whole new church organization with a whole new name among Yahweh's people. But the Adventists never did have a revival and reformation. After this, still in 1844, that was their last revival. They never had another one until they come to their end in 2002. Among Yahweh's people, such as the world has never seen. Those who receive the truth in its fullness humbly confess that they are sinners and that they wish to know the worst of their case. They gladly sacrifice anything and everything unto them. To sacrifice is too great. That would bring them closer unto the Yahshua. As soon as their pride of the opinion leaves them, as soon as they humbly inquire how to come and bow before the Yahshua, just that soon the answer comes unto them. Micah 6:8. For he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Yahshua require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy Yahweh. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our Yahweh is the greatest gift one can bring unto the Yahshua. And the order for the learning how to do justly, how to love mercy, and how to walk humbly, we are emphatically told. Micah 6:9. For the Yahshua's voice crieth unto the city, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That is to the general conference that are run it, those Jesuit Catholics that are run it, that they're still in charge of spiritual Israel. So Yahweh saying that Micah is addressing those leaders. And the man of wisdom shall see thy name, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it. For the Yahshua declares that his voice is crying unto the city, unto the church, and that the man of wisdom shall see the name, and shall hear the rod, and him who has appointed it. Manifestly, this rod is capable of the speaking and of the being heard. Thus, the command, "Hear ye the rod," so far as we know, is the only rod that has ever spoken. It is the shepherd's rod. Moreover, it was not the result of any studious searching of the Bible that the book was so named. For the author was not familiar with the scriptures, nor did he have any understanding of the book of the Micah at the time that the title Shepherd's Rod was given unto the book. I, for one, cannot overlook, neglect, or reject Yahshua's counsel in this matter. I must hear the rod and him who hath appointed it if I expect to have a home in his kingdom. I cannot afford to do otherwise. Yahweh is helping me, for himself declares that if I would know how to come before him, what offerings is accepting unto him, how to do justly, how to love mercy, and how to walk humbly before him, I must hear the rod that crieth unto the city, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now it is up unto all of us individually for the deciding whether we should hear the voice of the man or the voice of the Yahweh's rod. This is now everyone's test. And it must be everyone's concern, for one of these two voices, the voice of the man or the voice of Yahweh, rod, until determining everyone's destiny, either for the eternal death or for the eternal life. Since the message announces that the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua is at hand, that the judgment for the living is about to begin, and since Isaiah, the prophet, was given a vision of the Yahshua moving into his temple for the judicial work, the prophet's experience while he was yet in vision must therefore represent the experience of Yahweh's servants who are to announce the day of the Yahshua. His experience and commission must be our experience and commission. You see? Also I heard the voice of the Yahshua saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." Then said I, "Yahshua, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and Yahshua have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaken in the midst of the land, Isaiah 6, 8 to 10. Sanctify the Yahshua, the host, himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of the stumbling, and for a rock of the offense, unto both the houses of Israel, for a gin, and for a snare, unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Isaiah 8:13-15. Micah 6:10-11. There are yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable. Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, and with the bag of the deceitful waste? Here is definitely implied that these abominable things, treasures gained by the scanty measures, are yet in the house of the wicked. For the aim of the dishonestly getting rich quick at the cost of another sweat is here condemned. All these abominations promised by the selfishness must be put away by all who want to survive the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua. For the Yahshua's latest question, shall I count them pure with their wicked balances and with the bag of the deceitful weights, denotes that some are still hanging on to their deceitful ways and mistakenly expect to be counted among the pure. Okay, it says there are two types of thieves. That number one is a person who outright steals. Number two is a person who in a deal manages to get a little more than what really is his own. For he cares not if in the deal the other person makes little or nothing. All he cares about is that he himself bears well. This sort of thievery is the worst because it is practiced even by the so-called best of the Christian. Micah 6:12. For the rich man thereof are full of the violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. For the acts of the violence, lying and stealing, declares inspiration, are among Yahweh's people. Micah 6:13. Therefore also will I make thee sick and smiting thee, and making thee distant because of thy sin. The time is come, brethren, sister, to forget self and to be honest with all men, to realize that self is, as it were, the body of a dead man tied unto one's back, there to sap one's strength and to put him sick in bed. Under such greedy, selfish folks, Yahshua declares, Micah 6:14-15, thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take whole, thou shalt not deliver. And that which thou deliverest will I give up unto the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, that thou shalt not anoint thee with the oil, and sweet wine, but shalt not drink the wine. Micah 6:16. It says, for the statutes of the Omri are kept, and all the work of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in their counsel, that I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof an hissing. Therefore ye shall bear the reproach of my people. Rather than walk in the counsel of Yahweh's rod, the wicked walk in the counsel of the wicked. And how wicked are their counselors? Inspiration declares that they are as wicked as were those at the house of Omri and Ahab. Read 1 Kings 16:25, 26, 29, 30, and 33. Consequently, their fate will be the fate of the house of Ahab. Read 2 Kings 10:10 and 11. Surely, Micah 6 leaves no doubt whatsoever that the time is fully come for the Yahweh's people to get down unto the business as never before, a message with which we have been entrusted. Inspiration command should be scattered as the leaves of autumn. Testimony, Volume 3, page 231. And here are the leaves. Okay, this brings us to the end of One Timely Greetings, number 27. We will go into our next timely greeting, number 28. Timely greeting number 1, number 28. And the title of that sermon is On the Threshold of a New World and the Sight of the Old. And we're at the halfway mark. This is text of address, March 1st, 1947. Okay. It says, this afternoon, we are to study the 7th chapter of the Micah. So this chapter brings unto our attention 3 divisions of the time in which 3 different conditions obtain on the earth. The first condition is recorded in the first 4 verses, the second in verses 5 to 14, and the third in verses 15, down to the end of the chapter. Now let us begin with our study with Micah 7:1. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruit, as the grape gleans of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. Something is lacking unto a vintage after its fruit is gathered in. What is it? We will find the answer by the reading of Micah 7:2-5. Or Micah 7:2-6. For the good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie and they wait for the blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands and earnestly. The prince asks and the judge asks for a reward. And the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. For the day at thy of thy watchmen and thy visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the righteous, having been taken out of the world, and the wicked alone left in it, this condition is depicted by a vintage that has been robbed of its fruit and left in a state of loneliness and fear because of the total wickedness. This shifting takes place in the day that Yahweh visits his watchman. That is, in the judgment day, the day he separates the wheat from the tares, Matthew 13:30. The good fish from the bad fish, Matthew 13:47-48. The sheep from the goats, Matthew 25:31-46. Micah 7:7-10. Therefore I will look unto the Yeshua. I will wait for the Yeshua of my salvation. For my Yeshua will hear me. That's the Son. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in the darkness, the Yeshua shall be a light unto me. I will hear the indignation of the Yeshua because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth unto the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. That's Yahshua's righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, where is the Yahshua the Redeemer? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as a mire of the streets. These verses present Yahweh's faithful people. Actually, it's Yahshua, the Son's faithful people, that believes in the blood of the everlasting covenant. The people unto whom these prophecies have been unfolded. Unfolded. Is as having an enemy that bears the feminine designation she. This she questions and doubts Yahweh's presence among his people and mocks them for their faith in the blood of the Yahshua. I added that last part, blood. Since these prophecies are now for the first time brought unto the light, they constitute the message of the hour. And since upon us has been placed the burden of the carrying of the message unto the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and since she is our enemy, here it is, the Seventh-day Adventist Church is our enemy, and as was the Jewish church unto the apostolic apostles and Yahshua at the cross. For inspiration thus bears witness against her and pronounces her doom. Then it shall come to pass that the Gentiles shall see the saints' righteousness and all kings their glory, and they as a people shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yahshua shall name, Isaiah 62:2, Micah 7:11-12. And the day that thy walls are to be built, and that day shall the decree be far removed, and that day also he shall come even unto thee from Assyria, and from the fortified cities, and from the fortresses even unto the river, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain, since this decree is removed, and the day that the kingdom, the church purified, is restored. And that's restored in the house of David. That's the house that we are today, the tribe of Judah, lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, and Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 8. And the day that the saints are fortified, the decree has no effect on them. And that day, because of Israel, there shall be a great gathering from Assyria and from the fortified cities, even from sea to sea and mountain to mountain. This message, therefore, is the one that precedes the harvest of the earth. Okay, in the 12th prophetic hour that we're in now, the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the judgment for the living, the day in which all things are to be restored, and the day when all things are to be restored, and we're in that day right now. Micah 7:13-14. Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doing. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old, before these promises are fulfilled, though. Inspiration declared the land was to be desolate. Okay. Now this land is going to become desolate. It's the United States, and it's in the process of tearing down so we can restore it. For the dispersion of the people would first take place. This rod of the Yahweh that only speaks, but it feeds too. This rod of Yahweh not only speaks, but it feeds too. And what can it be if not meat in the due season? Matthew 24:45. If not the messenger of the hour, Elijah David, Malachi 4:5, the people, explains the scripture, are those who dwell solitarily in the woods, in the midst of Carmel. Prophecy for this day and hour recommends the message which the rod contains and which Carmel puts out, none other. Micah 7:15. According to the pace of coming out, according unto thee, pace of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. Actually, this is a misprint. According unto the days of thy coming out of the land of Israel, I show unto him a marvelous thing. That's in Micah 7:15. We are given the promise that the saints' experience is to be similar unto that of the Exodus movement, that is, just as they are led out of the Egypt by the mighty hand of Yahweh and were brought safely into the promised land, so shall it be now. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Petros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah From the four corners of the earth, Isaiah 11:11-12, Micah 7:16-18, for the nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth, their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall make out of their move out of their holes like the worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Yahshua, our Redeemer, Savior, and shall fear because of thee, who is a Yahweh like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Okay. It says, for the envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistine toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Yahshua shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian seed, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. Isaiah 11:13-15. As great as shall be the day of the Yahshua for the faithful, just that dreadful will it be for the unfaithful. Micah 7:19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou shalt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Our Yahweh is wonderful indeed. He retains not his anger. He delights in mercy. He remembers not the sins of the penitent. He casts them away where they cannot be found anymore. Micah 7:20. Thou wilt perform the truth unto Jacob, and the mercy unto Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Inspiration reaffirms all of Yahweh's promises. They never fail. His prophecies are sure. We are on the threshold of a new world and the site of the old. Soon there shall be sin no more. Therefore, are they before the throne of Yahweh and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of the waters. And Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 7:15-17. Even now, says Yahshua, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Yahshua, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. For the Yahshua has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn and who to be meat for thine enemy. And the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored, but they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Yashur, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up the standard for the people. Behold, Yashur hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye unto the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of Yashur. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken, Isaiah 62:6-12. We are indeed at the threshold of this new world and the side of the old, that our works and faith now answer the Yashur's most astounding questions since the world began. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yashur whom you seek shall suddenly come unto his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. That's Latter-day Elijah, of Malachi 4:5, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yashur of the host. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yashur an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of the Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Yashur as in the days of old and as in the former years. And I will come near unto you in the judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the idolaters and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the harlot in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith Yashur of the host, for I am the Yashur, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Malachi 3:1-6. This then brings us into one-time agreement number 28. And we still have some time left on our study, about 10 minutes. So it says, timely greeting, number 29. And let's see what we got here. It says, a trodden down kingdom rising to prominence and peace. All right, let's see what that has to offer. It was written in February 22, 1947. We are now to study the book of the Isaiah, beginning with the first chapter and continuing on into the second chapter. The first part of chapter 1, you well know, deals with the sins of the ancient Israel, while the latter part of the chapter along with the second chapter deals with the reestablishment of the kingdom in the latter days. Specifically, it is this latter subject that we are to study today. For the prophet Isaiah being instructed for the recording what was to befall the people of Yahweh in the early days, as well as in the latter days of their history, quickly unfolds the fact that the Yeshua at the same time had in mind not only his people in the ancient time, but also the people in our time. This same dual view practice on the subject you will detect throughout the Bible. In this connection, we shall raise the question in our is our record as a people better or worse than that of the Jews? This can be readily settled by the reading of the Testimony, Volume 3, page 252 and 3. We shall read right now the message to the Church of the Laodicea, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, as a startling denunciation and as applicable unto the people of Yahweh at the present time. That was in 1947. The Victory Hallis said that this rod message was applicable to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And unto the angel of the Church of the Laodiceans write, of these saints, saith the Amen. Now he's addressing the last angel in charge of it, and that was Rose Johnson, Kermit, Texas, 2002. So let's see what Yahshua is addressing Rose Johnson about. He says, and unto the angel of the Gilead Center Church of the Laodiceans at Kermit, Texas, 2002 at the Passover, write these sayings, saith Yahshua, as the faithful and true witness, as the beginning of the creation of the Yahweh. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. He said, I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with the goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. For the Yahshua here shows us that the message is to be borne unto his people by the minister whom he has called to warn the people, and that was Brother Sidney Johnson, is not a peace and safety message. It is not merely merely theoretical, but practical in every particular. For the people of Yahweh are represented in the message unto the Laodiceans as in a position of the carnal security, for they are at ease, believing themselves to be in an exalted condition of the spiritual attainment. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What greater deception can come upon the human minds than a confidence that they are right when they are all wrong? For the message of the true witness finds the people of Yahweh in a sad deception, yet honest in that deception. They know not that their condition is deplorable in the sight of Yahweh, while those addressed are flattering themselves that they are in an exalted spiritual condition. The message of the true witness breaks their security by the startling denunciation of their true condition of the spiritual blindness, poverty, and wretchedness. The testimony so cutting and severe cannot be a mistake, for it is the true witness who speaks, and his testimony must be correct. It is difficult for those who feel secure in their attainments and who believe themselves to be in such a be rich in the spiritual knowledge for the receiving of the message which declares that they are deceived and in need of every spiritual grace. The unsanctified heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I was shown that the many are flattering themselves that they are good Christians who have not a ray of light from Yahshua. They have not a living experience for themselves and the divine life. They need a deep and thorough work of the self-abasement before the Yahweh, before the... They will feel their true need of the earnest, persevering effort for the securing of the precious graces of the Spirit. Testimony, Volume 3, page 252 and 3. I need not read more. Inspiration plainly states that today there is to be a message born unto the people of Yahweh, that that message is to be born not by the ordinary men, but by the ministers called especially for that purpose, and that it is not a message of the peace and safety as the men, as the ministry and the general would naturally have it, for the number endeavors to impress us with the fact that the people of the Yahweh are deceived, and they imagine that they are in an excellent condition. Yes, Yahweh's people at this time are every bit as deceived as were the Jews in the days of Yahshua's first advent. In fact, they are perhaps even worse, for they have had the types and the examples of the past as well as added lights shining on their pathway, which the ancients did not have. For the prophet Isaiah had the sad news for Yahweh's people in his day. He told them that if they continued in their erroneous ways, all of them, good and bad alike, would be dispersed and assembled by the nation. But for the faithful of today, he has the good news. Isaiah 1:24-26. Therefore saith Yahshua, Yahshua the host, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries, and avenge me of mine enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee, and purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy tin, and I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. That would be the city of David, Jerusalem. Okay. Rather than let all us the people suffer the consequences of sin, Yahshua at this time promises for the avenging only his enemies, his adversaries that are within his church. So that's what he did down in Kermit. Rhodes was the leading, last leader of the adversaries in Yahshua's church at Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, 2003, and he was dispersed. Yahshua spewed him out of his mouth. He got rid of him. He will purge and purify his church, and then restore his judges. Okay, now those judges are your 144,000, okay, and counselors as at the first. Then she will indeed be called the city of the righteousness as the faithful city. Behold, the days come, saith Yahshua, that I will sow the house of the Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man, and with the seed of the beast, and it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them, to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Yahshua. In those days, They shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. For every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth this sour grape, he hath his teeth shall be set on edge. Jeremiah 31:27-30. Isaiah 1:27-28. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converse with the righteousness, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Yasher shall be consumed. Okay, this brings the end of our step this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.